Today, I would like to begin by talking about two churches that have been in the news recently. Now, during the season of Lent, as you will recall, I preached a sermon series on five classic Christian spiritual practices: fasting, solitude, simplicity, almsgiving, and prayer. And these are practices that can help us grow stronger in our faith and draw us closer to God. One church up in Chicago chose to fast for Lent. As a church, they were going to fast, but they took a rather unique approach to fasting. Instead of giving up chocolate or ice cream or sodas or coffee or cigarettes or whatever you choose to give up for Lent, this church tried something different. Now, the name of the church is First United Church of Oak Park, and it's called United because the current congregation is the result of a merger back in 1975 between the First Presbyterian Church and the First Congregational Church, both of Oak Park. And this year, on Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, the church placed a banner out in front of their building on the road announcing that for Lent, the congregation was, quote, fasting from whiteness. The idea is simple. For worship during Lent, they would only sing hymns that were written or composed by people of color: African Americans, indigenous people, Latino people, people from around the world. And in addition, the pastor was offering Bible studies on anti-racism. And according to the pastor, the purpose of this fast from whiteness was to, quote, take the white perspective out of the center and allow other perspectives to have space. Now, the congregation of First United is mostly white. The town of Oak Park, which is a suburb of Chicago, is 70% white. And this fast from whiteness may sound odd, or you may even find it offensive, but all they were doing is saying, we're going to take our beloved Handel and Mozart and Hal Hobson and set them aside for just a couple of weeks so that we might intentionally celebrate other voices. That's it. Swapping out a couple of hymns. It's like a radio station saying, you know, instead of top 40, this week we're going to play some great music that you may not be familiar with. But what Oak Park did caused a stir. Now, personally, I applaud the church for this very creative fast, for putting what would be a controversial sign out in front for all to see. And they did this as a conviction. They did this as followers of Jesus, who did call us that all are to be loved equally. Sadly, but not unexpectedly, there was some pushback from the church's fast. A website called Turning Point USA posted an article criticizing the church's decision, and then this was shared among other media, and as a result, First United received countless angry, hateful messages. They got over 1,000 in just one day. And comments on the internet labeled the church's actions as wokeness gone mad and reverse racism, and lots of things that cannot be printed or said in church. One phone caller left a threatening voicemail calling this fast insanity, and he threatened to show up at the next service with, quote, some of his buddies. In concern for their safety, the church consulted with the police and were forced to cancel their in-person worship for Palm Sunday. They held worship online. Now, the second church that I would like to talk about is the Russian Orthodox Church. Now, most of us consider the greatest division between in the Christian church would be between the Protestants and the Catholics. That's the one we're most familiar with. But it's not. The greatest rift in the Christian church is between the Eastern church and the Western church, a split that occurred in 1054 between the church in Rome and the church in Constantinople. The Eastern church, still based in Constantinople, is today known as the Orthodox Church, and it is comprised of 15 branches, which are based largely along national lines. These include churches such as the Greek Orthodox Church, the Polish Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, and others. The nation of Ukraine, as we are all far too aware, was invaded by Russia less than 3 months ago. Most of the people in Ukraine identify themselves as Christian, and most of these are members of the Russian Orthodox Church, given Ukraine's historical association with the old Russian Empire. However, since the start of this recent war, the leader of the Russian Church, a person identified as the Patriarch, has been a vocal supporter of the Russian invasion on Ukraine. He has done things such as bestowing blessings on the Russian army, and he's cast the war as a holy struggle to protect Russia from Western scourges. And in the past, he has been a vocal supporter of President Putin as his church receives vast financial resources from the government. The Patriarch has preached a series of sermons and given speeches saying that Russia is battling the Antichrist, and he's encouraging Russians to rally around the government. The Patriarch has called this war sacred. And not surprisingly, many Orthodox Christians around the world have condemned the Russian Patriarch for promoting war and violence, especially as it affects his own followers in Ukraine, members of his church. In the New Testament, the book of Acts opens with Jesus' ascension into heaven, and then his directive to his followers to be witnesses, his witnesses, across the world. The book goes on to trace the growth of the emerging Jesus movement, a movement which we call the church. The book tells us of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus' followers, and thousands were baptized. We read of the power of the Holy Spirit as it is revealed in healings and in miracles. In chapter 4, the followers of Christ, however, begin to pay the consequences for preaching the name of Jesus, and they are arrested. The charge brought against them is proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin, which is the high council of Jerusalem, to explain their actions, their preaching, their teaching, their performing miracles. And Peter proclaims that their acts of healing are performed in the name of Jesus Christ. He stands up before the council, before the authorities, and proclaims the name of Jesus to them, saying, "This is why we are doing this." He goes on to say, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The council on this occasion was forced to let Peter and John go free. They had really no evidence against them, and meanwhile, the church continued to grow. Our reading for today, the portion I read a moment ago, is actually the middle part of a broader story which takes place in chapter 5. In Jerusalem, the apostles of Christ have continued to perform these public acts of healing and casting out unclean spirits. But finally, the council can take no more, and they have the apostles arrested and placed in jail. However, during the night, an angel arrives and unlocks the doors of the jail. The angel then instructs the apostles to run for the hills, to get away. No, the angel didn't say that. The angel actually told them to go to the temple and preach there. The next morning, the council gathers, and they send for the prisoners. The guards return and report that the doors of the jail were still locked, but those prisoners are gone. Then, a messenger arrives to the council and announces that those prisoners are actually at the temple, speaking to the people. Guards are sent to bring these apostles directly to the council. And once the apostles are back in custody, the high priest says to them, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name of Jesus, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Peter responds, telling the council, "We must obey God. We must obey God rather than any human authority." Peter goes on to say, "The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus and exalted him at his right hand that he might give forgiveness of sins." We are witnesses of these things. They declare that what they do in the name of Jesus, and they tell why Jesus has this power, that God has exalted him, that he is God's right-hand man. And not only that, Peter says, "We have seen this with our eyes." This reading for today begins a four-part series of sermons called The Church of the Resurrection. And over the next 4 weeks, Michael and I will be asking a series of questions. If the church is comprised of the followers of Christ, and if the church is true to Christ, then what sort of entity are we to be? What are we directed to do? What must the church do to be the church of Jesus Christ? Well, the answer given to us today is really quite simple. As we see in this passage, to be the church, we must confess Christ. We must preach and teach. We must act as if the Holy Spirit really is with us, giving us power, for it is. We must be willing to stand up to the human authorities and the voices of power in our society, even when we are threatened, punished, or persecuted. To confess Christ is not just to teach the faith, but is to act in Jesus' holy name, to obey his commands, to take a stand as a body against racism, injustice, inequality, hatred, violence, and war. We must do this when it is uncomfortable, unfashionable, unpopular, and unadvisable. The church is to broadcast Christ's unique message of love, compassion, and forgiveness. And if we are indeed that church, then we must be willing to confess Christ with a loud and clear voice. As I mentioned, our reading for today is the middle part of a bigger story. And the story goes, 1, the apostles were arrested. 2, they were brought before the council. And then 3, after our reading, a Pharisee, a member of the council named Gamaliel, speaks up. Gamaliel points out that, you know, false teachers come and go. We have seen them before. And he names several examples, and the council all nods, "Yes, we know who you're talking about." And Gamaliel suggests that what they should do is to free these apostles and just let them go. Let them go about their business. Because if this Jesus that they follow is just a man, then their movement will fail. They always fail. If, however, this movement is of God, then it's going to succeed. And we, at that time, he says, we don't want to be on the wrong side of God. Our best bet is just to let them go. And the council's convinced by his words. So they call the apostles back in, and they have them flogged. Clearly they weren't that convinced, but they have them flogged, and then order them to keep quiet and go away. The apostles do go away, but they continue to preach and to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. This Gamaliel, he was an astute man. But it seems that he spoke out, not on the basis of his own conviction, but on the strength of the conviction of the apostles' message. He could have kept quiet and probably would have, but their faith swayed him. The church must always speak out if we wish to be heard. If we want the world to hear us, we have to speak. First United Church up in Oak Park, they spoke out in the name of Christ, and they suffered for it. They had to cancel their Palm Sunday service. But they will be strengthened. They will continue on. On the other hand, there's the patriarch of the Russian church who chooses to side with the powers and principalities of the world over the word of Christ. I can only guess at his motives, but they don't appear to reflect the words of Christ. On a final note, as I mentioned, First United canceled their Palm Sunday worship because of this threat of violence. The authorities knew who made the phone call because of a little thing called caller ID, but they haven't taken action because they've yet to determine if a crime was committed, and the church is not pressing charges. However, on Thursday, before Easter, Maundy Thursday, the staff arrived at the church to find a potted Easter lily with a blue bow and a note attached to it saying, "To the office staff, sorry for the inappropriate voicemail last week." And the note even had a signature, a name which matched that on the caller ID. When the church confesses Christ, when the church stands by its commitment to Christ, lives will be changed. Amen.